I won't ask you to do this, but if I did ask you to raise your hands on this question, I'm going to guess that there would be an awful lot of us that would have to raise our hand. I know I would. But how many of you have read a particular passage repeatedly over the years, over time? Read it and read it and read it. And then all of a sudden, one day you read it, and just something about that passage just jumps off the page, and you ask yourself, why have I never thought about this before? Why did this particular thought never come to my mind? It's happened to me on occasion. It did just, I mean, last week or so. And it did it while I was in reading in the book of Luke, and I'll come back to that in just a moment, because it really is what kind of gave the genesis of this particular thought that I had tonight. And it started out as one thought, and it kind of blossomed into two thoughts. So bear with me on this. Think about this. Number one, you know, sometimes if we are not cautious, if we're not careful, we can very easily get a little bit boastful. We don't even intentionally do it sometimes. We really don't. But turn in your Bibles very quickly. We have a number of passages we're going to go to through this devotional, but they're short. So bear with us. Matthew chapter 19. And if you don't get them to all of them, because we're going to go through them pretty quickly, that'll be fine. Matthew 19, verse 27. Then Peter answered and said to him, "See, we have left all and followed you." Now, I want you to stop and think about that one for just a moment. We've left all and followed you. And then turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Philippians chapter 2. One of my favorites. Chapter 2, beginning in verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." What kind of mind was that? "Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of the bondservant and becoming in the likeness of man." Now I want you to stop and think about that for just a moment. And then compare that, if you will, to what Peter had said. Oh, impetuous Peter. You know, he was so quick all the time, it seems, to say something or to do something that if he had just thought about it, maybe he wouldn't have said. Maybe he wouldn't have done. But then, guess what? I'll raise my hand. I've been impetuous at times, too. I've jumped out there and said something that later I thought, well, that was just not the thing to say. That wasn't the thing to do at the time. I've done that too. You see, we have left all and followed you, Lord. Oh, look at what we've done. How boastful is that? But look at Jesus. Being in the form of God, he was in the absolute pure spirit form of deity. And yet he left the glories of heaven, came to this earth, and put on the human form of mankind to be a bondservant. And think about this for just a moment. Luke chapter 9, verse 58. Remember what Jesus said there? Oh, the foxes have holes to den up in. The birds have nests to make their home in. He says the Son of Man does not even have that. He does not even have a place to lay his head. Think about what Jesus gave up. Then, if you will, turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 26. Very quickly, we'll notice here verses 30 through verse 35. "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And then Jesus said to them, 'All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee.' And Peter answered," here's old impetuous Peter again, "Peter answered and said to him, 'Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble.' And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you." How boastful of you, Peter. "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." Now listen, here's a part that we often forget, because we're putting all this on Peter, but notice what the very end of that verse says. "And so said all the disciples." We forget that sometimes. But you see, that was a little bit boastful on their part, wasn't it? But then I want you to notice something very quickly here in verse 75. And this was after, by the way, notice verse 74, "Then he began to curse," talking about Peter. "Curse and swear, saying, I do not know the man. And immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word of our Lord Jesus and said to him, Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And he went out and he wept bitterly." This wasn't just, "Oh, I'm sorry, Lord. Oh, I made a mistake, Lord." This was anguish on the part of Peter, because he had been boastful. Because he had been boastful. And I want us to stop and think about this for just a moment. Who really died? Who really gave up everything? Who really sacrificed it all? Jesus did. Folks, we have nothing to be boastful of. But then the second point here that we want to deal with. We easily seem to complain. I know I've been guilty of it. Oh, man, I tell you what. How hard life is. So easy to do that, isn't it? How unfair life is. Oh, it's just not right. Look at the things happening around the world right now. How people treat me. So easy to do that, isn't it? But do we really have anything to whine about? Do we really? And I have to look at myself sometimes and ask myself that question. Royce, really, do you have anything to complain about, honestly? Not really. Turn over in your Bibles very quickly, and this is a great example, which, by the way, it was a reminder to me. I've used this before in a lesson way back when. I can't even tell you where now. I'd hate to try to look it up in some of my older lessons to see if I could find it, because it'd take forever to do that. But I was listening, by the way, good example here. If you don't listen to KWOJ, listen, because sometimes you can get reminders. Hey, that's a good verse. I hadn't thought about that in a long time. Listen to KWOJ. Turn over in your Bibles very quickly to the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. And notice something very quickly here. And this is, remember, the Apostle Paul who is writing this. In verse 16 he says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Light affliction? Really? Paul is talking about a light affliction? Of all the people outside of Jesus that would talk about a light affliction, I just can't somehow picture in my mind that the Apostle Paul would be talking about that. Why? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 with me. Let's start about verse 22. "Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant." Now listen. "In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequently. In deaths often. From the Jews five times I received 40 stripes minus one. Three times, excuse me, I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, and cold and nakedness. Now listen to this. And besides the other things, what come upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. And Paul would talk about light affliction. Have you been in prison for the cause of Christ? Have you been beaten with rods because of Christ? Have you taken 39 stripes even once for the cause of Christ? Have you been shipwrecked because you were on a destination to go before Caesar for the cause of Christ? And on that list goes. And Paul talks about the light afflictions. That just absolutely astounds me. That he could talk about the light afflictions. And I complain. And I complain. Foolish me. But I want us to look at something. Let's back up just a moment. Go back to chapter 4. We didn't stop reading there, did we? Like we should have. We stopped like we should not have, should I say. Verse 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are seen are eternal. You see, Paul was looking on the eternal, not the temporal. That's why he could say the things that are light in affliction. Oh, they're not to be compared at all. They're easy. They're okay. We can do this. We're going to make this. We're going to make this. And you know, that's not even the end of it, is it? Turn over very quickly, and we'll try to put this all together and tie this thing up. Chapter 12. And I want you to notice something in verses 7 through 10. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. Now listen, he describes it as what? A messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. All these things that he went to, now he's talking about there's a thorn in the flesh. Now, do I know for sure what that thorn in the flesh was? No, I don't. Paul, by inspiration, doesn't tell us. Do I have some ideas that are some thoughts that maybe, I got some conjecture, maybe. But you know what? He says, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And listen to the Lord's response to him. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Summarize that. No, Paul, you have to live with it. Because you see, Paul, you going through this is making you a stronger person in reality. You see, not only did he go through all these things he listed for us in chapter 11, but he had this thorn in the flesh that was obviously a problem for him. Because he prayed 3 times. He asked for this thing to be taken from him, but Jesus said, it's okay, Paul. You can deal with this. And I complain. Now, there's a remedy for this. for both the boasting aspect and the other aspect of the complaining. One word, folks, in our lives is called humility. Be humble. If I'm humble, I'm not going to boast. And the truth of the matter is, if I have that spirit of humility, I'm not going to complain, because my humility is going to tell me there are others who have gone through a whole lot worse than I've ever gone through or ever will go through. We've talked about this before. Brother Mike has. Brother Brian has. I think I maybe have from the pulpit. 2020 was a bear of a year. It's okay. Don't complain about it. It's gone. 2021's here. Let's make the best of 2021. It's okay. We're going to do okay. No complaints. Be humble and face this year knowing that we serve a God who cares about us. Now, quickly, here's what started all this off in my mind. I was reading in the book of Luke. Of course, you can read it also in Matthew chapter 4. But I was reading Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. And remember what we're dealing with there? Jesus had been taken out into the wilderness to be tempted. And he was tempted three ways. Remember, the first one was what? Satan says, "You're hungry." And I'm paraphrasing. "You're hungry. You haven't eaten in 40 days. You're hungry. Command these stones to become bread and eat, Jesus. If you're the Son of God, surely you can do this." Remember what his response was? "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Now here's my point here. This is something that I had missed so many times in my study. And why I missed it, I don't know. Some of you probably have read it and got it. And you're going to scratch your head going, "Well, Royce, how did you miss that?" I don't know. Doesn't matter. I got it now, finally. Took me a while, but that's okay. I'm slow in the uptake sometimes. That's okay too. But folks, here's what grabbed my attention this time. What were the next two tests, temptations? Goes up on a mountaintop in a moment's time, shows him all the kingdoms of the world. Then he takes him up into the pinnacle. "Cast yourself down." What happened to the first temptation? Was Jesus still hungry? He was, wasn't he? That hadn't been eliminated. He was still having to deal with that while he was dealing with the next temptation and the next temptation. And I complain. He was dealing with another temptation while he was still hungry, because it hadn't gone away. He still hadn't gotten to eat. And I complain over little things like, "Why, it's been 3 hours since I've eaten something. It's been 4 hours since lunch. Why aren't things ready yet?" I pat my foot in front of a microwave because it isn't getting it done fast enough. I complain about silliness. And I remember the time, old enough, young folks, I remember the time when we didn't have microwaves. Folks, humility. Be humble and realize that we don't really have anything to boast about, and we don't have anything to complain about. The invitation is extended. Be a people of humility. And one of the ways that we exhibit our humility is that we go to this, the book of books, and we let this be the standard for what we believe and how we live our lives and what we teach. This is it. We are desirous of being like the Bereans, who were more noble than those of Thessalonica, Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. We want to be a people who search the Scriptures daily to make sure that the things that we are being taught are so. And when we use this book of books, then we're going to be right by God. And we're going to know what we must do to be saved. If you've never been obedient to the gospel call, you can go to this book. You may desire some help, and we're here to help. If you've never been obedient to the gospel call, never to put your Lord and Savior on in baptism, because maybe you've never heard the Word of God preached in its entirety. Maybe you don't know what to do to be saved. Maybe you don't yet really believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Maybe you have not repented of your sins. Maybe you have not confessed the name of Jesus. Then you're not ready to be baptized. But I'm going to tell you something. We stand ready to assist you in any way that we can with that. Maybe it is the case that you have heard the Word of God preached, and you do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You're ready to repent of your sins. You're ready to confess that Jesus is the very Son of God. Then you're ready to be baptized. We're going to ask the simple question right here and now. Why are you waiting? That's what Ananias asked of Saul of Tarsus. Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. We stand ready to assist you on that. Maybe it is the case that you're a child of God. And you've already done these things, of course, but you've fallen away, and maybe your faith is not what it needs to be. And you need to come back to God. We ask a simple question, why not do that tonight as well? We stand ready to assist you in any way that we possibly can. Won't you do that right now as we stand and sing this song?